B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sit tight. Here's Doug day after.
Extra point. Yeah. Can I elaborate?
Yeah,
please. I just felt like at that time, too, our defense was playing outstanding. I mean, outside of the start of the third quarter where they went down and scored and they scored on a trick play, our defense played really well. They punted the rest of the game. So I felt like at that point you tie the game, get a chance maybe to go to overtime and win it there. Protocol. He's in a protocol. Yeah.
What play did he get hurt?
He came out after that touchdown drive. I don't know specifically what the play was, but it was after that drive that he came to the sideline and we checked him and had to put him in the protocol.
Can you tell us how long the stage he is in the protocol?
Well, it's still early, so it's I guess stage one of the 5-stage program.
Yeah.
So it's stage one.
I know it's kind of hard to maybe quantify it, but how much of the offensive struggles after he went out were because he was out?
I mean, it affected the run game a little bit from the standpoint of, you know, him and Brandon working together, you know, and getting those reps during the week. Still got a lot of confidence, obviously, in Big V. He filled in there. But that you know, it's a loss. I mean, you're talking about a Pro Bowl caliber, you know, right tackle, and he and Brandon together do some great things, and so it affects you a little bit, you know, with the running game.
Any thought about getting Dillard reps on that side?
You know, going into the game, obviously he was, you know, JP status during the week. Obviously, he was still working at left tackle, but moving forward, if you know. Again, depending on Lane's status at the end of the week, the plan would be to work Dillard a little bit at right tackle.
TJ's point in the second half, you guys seem to get away from the right game a little bit. Was that the more Patriots defense? Was it the fact that he wasn't out there? Was it the fact you guys were kind of pass the ball more?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the above. You know, some of it was Lane, but you know, it's not all on that. You know, injury, obviously, it happens during the course of the game. The other thing was just we did struggle to kind of get positive yards in the run game, you know, and sustain positive yards. And you know, we might have one good play, and then we might take a step back, or there was a penalty. And so, you know, and then, too, as the game progressed, I felt like that, you know, in order for us to kind of get ourselves in a position to score and tie it, we needed to find an explosive play. And so the passing game became, you know, a little more important at that time.
As a follow-up to that, Miles Sanders is someone who's providing that for you. Were you trying to get him involved in the passing game with the Patriots following him up?
Yeah, we were. And of course, the Patriots, you know, they put a DB on him. They put a linebacker on him a couple of times. As they did Zach for the majority of the game, so yeah, you know, they schemed him up as well, and but yeah, it wasn't for lack of trying.
How are Alshon and Jordan looking for next week?
Right now, you know, each one is they're doing well. You know, we'll have another injury report on Wednesday, obviously after the practice there, but not going to go into a lot of detail with either one of them, but both of them are progressing nicely.
On Dillard, I feel like Nelson should have had that ball in the back of the end zone.
It would have been a heck of a catch. The angle he was on, and I don't know if the, you know, if the wind moved the ball at all, but he was having to bend back over, you know, kind of over his shoulder. It would have been a spectacular catch if he had got it. And, you know, I'm sure he's beating himself up for not making that play.
On Dillard, when you say he'll practice on the right side this week, if Lane can't go, do you mean with the starters or as a backup?
With the starters?
I just want to clarify.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
With the starters.
Jimmy Dye left some extra pressure dealing against Brady, which is not generally gets the ball as well. Does that speak to growing confidence in the back end?
Yeah, I think that's what you're seeing with you know, the health of Darby now and Jalen back there, Avante back in there, you know, and Rodney, Malcolm, those guys. So it does help when you can hold up on the perimeter to be able to dial up a few more pressures and get to the quarterback. And you got to You have to do that against great quarterbacks to try to disrupt some timing.
Doug, what's the plan for Teddy Ajayi this week? I mean, obviously you signed him on Friday, so that's why.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you signed him late, so you know, it was just kind of an emergency situation if we needed him, you know, in that football game yesterday. But it, we'll incorporate him, you know, if, again, if Jordan, like Lane, if he, you know, doesn't practice or whatever during the week, then we definitely will get Jay ready to go.
Why was the timing on that the way it was? Jordan Howard hadn't been cleared for contact until Friday.
He wasn't cleared for contact, but he was working individual drills. So we had optimistic, you know, we were optimistic that he, you know, optimistic that he was going to maybe be available for the game. That's why it was later in the week than earlier.
What's the biggest teaching point that Wentz should take away from this past game?
I think you know, when he looks at this game, and I'm sure he already has, that there were opportunity. There were opportunity in the passing game to make some plays. I think that he would agree with that. And then just really, you know, he doesn't have to feel like that he has to make all the plays. You know, even though he touches the ball and he is the quarterback and we ask him to do a lot, just let the offense kind of work and let the guys around you make the plays. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think that's a takeaway. And you don't have to feel like, and I think maybe as the game progressed, we all kind of maybe felt like there was a little bit of a pressing going on. You know, like we're trying to make that play against that great defense. And you really don't have to do that. Just let things unfold. And I can do a better job as far as maybe being a little more patient in the run game and helping them out that way. And that's a takeaway that, you know, obviously each week that I look at for myself, and I keep going back to, and it's not about one guy, as you know. I mean, it takes 11 on offense, so we got to do better up front in protection. Obviously, the backs have got to do a better job there as well, and then you know, our skill guys have to get open. So there's a combination of a lot of things that we can all take away from this game.
Did you see any examples when Wes hold the ball along the pocket, couldn't find guys open? One day he could have either extended the play by moving outside the pocket and getting guys to move around, or
there's always those opportunities. Patriots had a lot of line games and stunts, you know, throughout the game, and there were a couple of free runners on our quarterback, and so, you know, you're trying to go timing and rhythm with the throw, and the next thing you know, it's being disrupted by a game. So those are all things that we can fix and work on. You know, this week, because we're going to see the same style again with Seattle.
It all seems to be
balance in the first half. Got away from the run,
I think again, just you know, trying to find that explosive play, and kind of like what we had in the first half. I mean, we did have a nice balance, as you mentioned, but at the same time, you know, for me, I was looking for that. And there were opportunities because we started getting, you know, even though Dallas had dropped the one pass, you know, those deep cross routes were starting to kind of come open against their man coverage. We hit some in-breaking routes. We had some opportunities there. And so I kept going back to those types of plays and you know, trying to, you know, hopefully get that explosive play and then mix the run in after that, you know, throughout the course of the second half. And then once we got later in the game, we were more in a 2-minute mode, obviously trying to get ourselves in a position to score.
Doug, it does seem like Carson's missed more open guys than he has in the past. Do you agree with that? And if so, any ideas what's happening?
Well, I think there's always opportunity to hit, you know, more receivers, you know, during a game, you know, and each week's a little bit different. The circumstances are different. You know, pass protection, the rush, all that stuff can affect your eyes, can affect your movement of the pocket, and it can affect your accuracy. I mean, that's just all part of playing the position and playing this game. The other thing is we have to do a better job of coaching, you know, our skill guys versus man-to-man, bump and run, things like that. Keep working that in practice, presenting that picture properly in practice, and that's really the only way you can continue to get better. And if you do more of that, then you'll be better off in games.
How much of that is on Carson? Are you saying it's really just on
everybody? It's on everybody. It's on everybody because it's not just the quarterback position. Even though, again, it seems like the quarterback always gets kind of either the credit or the blame, but it still takes the protection. You know, we miss the backs. I mean, you look at the backs. I mean, we missed some protection there, right? Or got edged just a little bit, and with some of the games and things like that. That all disrupts timings of court, you know, the timing of the quarterback. So there's enough to go around in coming out of this game, things that didn't show up maybe in the last two games or the last three games, but showed up in this game, that we can get better moving forward.
So you've had a lot of long drives this year, and you had a 16-play drive that ate up like 9 minutes. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, not being able to hit on those chunk plays. So from the quarterback perspective, how difficult is it for a quarterback to sort of have to sustain those long drives and almost kind of be perfect on a ball track?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at our average field position, you know, the starting field position, it wasn't great. You know, it was well back, you know, 80 plus yards on most of them. And it's hard in this league, especially against good defenses. It's hard to go, you know, 80, 85 yards all the time and try to score. So you'd love to, you know, and we had opportunities on defense to create some turnovers too. So, you know, those two things go hand in hand. So the field position game is important, you know, and it felt like, especially in the second half where we felt backed up, which we were, and then punting, and then they're getting the ball up around midfield, and then punting again, and we're backed up again. So, you know, those are all things that, you know, they're hard. I mean, it's hard to overcome and especially sustain multiple drives of, say, 80-plus yards.
After the game, Carson was hard on himself about the fumble, but this has come up a few times now this season, last season. What are you seeing in terms of the fumbles?
Well, it was unfortunate. I mean, he got hit right on the arm, right on the hand, and the ball came out. Obviously, you know, you don't like that and you don't want that, especially deep in your own end like that. But, you know, we just continue to preach ball security to all our players, you know, all our skill guys, when we get a chance to coach him up, we'll coach him up on the progression of the play and try to help him, you know, in that situation.
You mentioned the opportunity for turnovers. What did you make of that call? Forward progress on the fumble that Jenkins caused?
Yeah, I guess, you know, whistle blew, forward progress was stopped, and nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, there was more plays to
do. Yeah.
Doug, I understand you're not in charge of personnel, but since Howie's available, I'll ask you, what is the organizational thinking behind bringing back so many players this year that had either previously played for the Eagles or that actually in every circumstance that previously played for the Eagles?
Well, when you look at the kind of the big picture league-wide of all the, you know, talent players who are out there who maybe have worked out for other teams, maybe not, you know, obviously they're not signed anywhere right now. There are a lot of good players out there, but at the same time, when it comes down to guys that can come in and help us, like right now, especially in Jay's situation, they've been a part of our system. They know our culture. They know our offense. Or if it's a defensive player, they know our defensive, you know, system. So it's guys that can come in and sort of plug and play, even though there's a, you know, and you never know. I mean, you're talking about personnel. You got to think about injury history, obviously, with every player, not just the ones we sign or our own guys, but there's injury history. There's, you know, who's available, who's working out for which teams, you know, things like that. So, you know, we're always looking. We're always, you know, if there's an injury situation that comes up, we're always looking to, you know, who's the next best available, you know, out there that can come in and help us. Thank you.
All right, there he was. There's the Doug Peterson news conference. Of course, the Doug Peterson presser brought to you by Corporate's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. So now let's take a moment and let's go right to the Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley, the brand new one. And let's talk to our two guest analysts, Darren Walker and Trey Thomas. Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic. What's good with you?
Well, nothing much. Actually, nothing at all is good with me after yesterday. Darwin, man, how you been, man?
Man, I've been great up until yesterday. I've been awesome, you know. But, man, I'm still bleeding right now from such a, you know, close, bad loss, just like all the fans, you know.
I know. Well, it's great to have you two guys Big Trey and Darwin together again live from the Outback. And Trey, I'm going to start with you. First of all, what did you think of what Doug had to say in his news conference? And, you know, what did you thought kind of stood out to you?
Pretty much that he put it on kind of on the offensive line a little bit with just some of the comments that he made that, hey, we're trying to stay in rhythm, but you have a free runner coming through, that they need to fix some protection, that there are some stunts, some games. And that's always been a situation with this offensive line and how they handle picking up games and stunts. And that's always been a struggle. So, you know, Doug sees that and he's pointing it out.
Just real quick, a follow up off of that. Junis had said, hey, look, and I thought his idea was a good one. I mean, why go with Jason automatically as the starter? And why, since the rookie, since Dillard was playing good football, was that a mistake, Trey?
I mean, at the end of the day, Jason is your starter. I get what you're saying. Like, hey, Dillard's supposed to be your guy that's up and coming. But Jason Peters is your starter. That's your guy. It's his position to own until he doesn't want to play it anymore. Yeah. I get where you're saying that, hey, man, go ahead and put Dillard in the game.
But
I think Dillard is going to be there. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's Jason Peters' position. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame left tackle.
I know. You're right. I mean, you're right. Yeah. The only problem is Dillard comes in cold. And in the first play, he gets bull rushed back into Carson.
Well, that's the nature of the business. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He should stay ready. Stay on the bike. You know what the deal is. You know what I'm saying? We can't sit up there and prep you. You're a backup tackle. Yeah. Stay ready.
Stay ready. I hear you. I get you. All right, Darwin, what stood out to you with Doug and the day after? I mean, obviously, I mean, their offensive woes were for everyone to see. What stood out to you from Doug?
I mean, to be honest with you, he sounded like just the normal beleaguered, beaten head coach after a bad football game.
Yeah.
It was hard to understand much of what he was just kind of mumbling and, like, you know, down in the hole. But he deserved to be down in the hole right now the way our offense played.
Yeah. I mean, what did you think of his performance, Trey? What did you think of – what grade would you give the coach off of yesterday?
I mean, you didn't win. So, I mean, I got to go a D on that performance just because of, you know, you started off strong with some of you had a couple different wrinkles. I thought the offense was moving. You came up with some different stuff, but then it kind of got stale in that second half. And, of course, you know going into halftime that Bill Belichick is going to go in there and he's going to make whatever adjustments that he's going to make. You need to be ready to make adjustments well. Now, I know you lost Miles Sanders, so then now you're dealing with Boston, who just fumbled for you. Mm-hmm. So you have no other running backs besides Boston. So, I thought that the offense got extremely stale. You know, the creativity just went out the window, you know, once Lane was down. And I don't think that they did a good job of just trying to get Carson moving around a little bit. Some of those little sprint right passes. You saw Tom Brady do it a couple times where he just needed a quick 5 or 6 yards and he would just roll out and go throw a ball. You know, we want to see some of that as well for Carson. Just some quick little sprint rights, get 5, 6 yards, stay ahead of the downs, keep the ball moving.
No misdirection either. And I to your point about utilizing Carson's leg, Darwin, I mean, don't you got to utilize his legs a little bit?
I think you do. But in a situation like this where you got this many injuries at receiver, you know, your running back gets hurt in the game, their back is against the wall. And this is where your head coach has to get creative and understand where your strengths are and play to them as best you can. But on the flip side of that, you got to think about, speaking of the Hall of Fame, you got a Hall of Fame coach in Bill Belichick where he's going to take away your best player every single game. He's always going to do that, just like Jim Johnson was defensively.
Yeah.
When he comes into a game, he's going to figure out, okay, who's the most productive player in your system? And you could argue that's Ertz right now. And he eliminated him by double-teaming him. And Romo and the cast, they were right. He eliminated Ertz. And so by doing that...
He didn't even take Belichick to do that, Darwin. Like, you know, you look at that Eagles receivers who are easily, by far, the worst collection in the league. You go, all right, well, I'm going to take away Ertz. And go ahead, I'll man up everybody else. Go make a play.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out you eliminate Ertz, you take a big part of the offense away. So that's exactly what they did. So to me, the way you combat that is you get creative with the offense. You start doing some things that's outside the box.
Yeah.
But, you know, they only have so much to work with. And let's be honest. I know we'll probably get into this later on in the show.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is right now, Carson Wentz is just an average quarterback. Maybe even a little below average. And, yeah, I said it. Write it down. Call it what you want to call it. But that's
why
the truth.
I'm going off of what I see.
My eyes ain't lying to me.
All right, dog. Here's the thing. I agree. Like, he did not play well yesterday.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the quarterback in a minute. But, I mean, you gotta admit, these receivers are terrible.
I've been saying that for 2 years. Our receivers are just, right now, some of them couldn't make my high school football team the way they catch the football. I'm just being honest. But, now, don't get me wrong, with Alshon and D-Jack. And
well, D-Jack's here.
Those are good receivers, but... Right now, you beat up, man. So you got to, you know, this is the time. If you're a backup player, because I've been in this position before, coming into a team where, you know, they had a great player in front of you and you get your opportunity, now you gotta seize the moment. This is your moment.
Yeah, I don't know that feeling. I can't relate to what you're talking about.
Are you trying to be funny or what?
I'm just pedigree, baby.
We're going to start throwing some furniture.
I stepped in and was starting right away, so I can't relate to what
okay,
you're
okay, okay. Well,
Trey was what you call pedigree.
I didn't get my first opportunity until yours truly, Mr. Hollis Thomas, got injured.
That's right.
I got my first opportunity, and I never looked back 7 years after that. 7 years straight. But... Again, you know, I don't know what Trey trying to say right now. We're going to be tossing some furniture
I'm
in here.
I'm just stating facts that I can't relate to what you're talking about.
Hey, Trey, real quick.
But I'm just saying that I relate to the situation.
Yeah.
When you get an opportunity, you have to seize that moment. This is your opportunity of a lifetime. You got to go out there and you got to play every snap like it's your last snap. You gotta want it. You can't leave nothing on the field. You gotta go in there and play and say, no matter what happens today, everything I got, everything that's in me will be left on this field. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that from our receivers when you get an opportunity like this.
I look at the receiving coach and I'm like, well, man, what do you do here? Yeah. You know, when you have second, third round picks, you have Whiteside, you have Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the Mac Hollins that was streaking down the field against Washington? You know, what are you doing here?
Did you see anything out of Whiteside?
Nothing. You know, he had one catch. And I think...
Carson scrambled around for 8 seconds to get the ball down the field. Yeah.
And I think there was a comment where he was like, we were getting open. Really? You know, but also, too, I noticed that, and we were talking with this with McNabb a little bit earlier, is that you don't see three-step drops. You see a lot of everything is out of gun, and Carson is always looking to one side of the field, where he'll say, everything is going left, but then you have a little rub route on the other side. He's not even looking at it because he's so focused on.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the receiver coach, and I'm also looking at the quarterback coach because the players are only going to do what you train them to do.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what are you doing in practice to get them to even look at the other side of the field and know that, hey, the defense is coming, is going to, safety is rolling to the left. Let me look to the right because I have man to the right. So, yeah, just little stuff like that I'm not seeing progress with this team.
All right, boys, do me a favor.
Let me add to that, though.
Okay, real quick, hold the thought, Doc, because we're going to take a quick TO, all right?
Okay.
And then we'll come back out to you guys, and we'll talk to some people, some of our callers. We'll break this all down. We'll talk about Carson. We'll talk about Doug. We'll talk about where they're at. How far can this season still be saved? And we'll get a lot of reaction on the phones with our fans and at the Outback Steakhouse with Trey Thomas and Darwin Walker. Don't forget Outback celebrating its grand opening in Oxford Valley today with a fundraiser benefiting Operation Homefront. You guys go out and see, and you can help out the military families who struggle and really need help with household expenses. 50% of sales from meals today, all the proceeds go to the organization, so you can enjoy some great Outback Steakhouse food and help a great cause. Let me tell you about LaBruciano, shall we? Oh, if God forbid you need a new roof. Right? You're in that spot. You're going, oh, no. I need a new roof. I've seen these home improvement jobs go bad. It's ugly. Not if you choose, however, the master. Anthony LaBruciano Roofing. That's where you need to go. You live in PA. You don't worry about anything. You go to the master. The master will help you out. Certainty five-star select shingle master. That's what Anthony is. Now, why is that important? First of all, Certainty makes the absolute best shingles and roofing products on the market. And only the top contractors are awarded Certainty five-star select master certification. And from the very start, you'll deal directly with the owner, Anthony. He's the best, man. You're going to love him. He'll respond to your calls quickly. All right? They use only the finest Certainty products. Your job's done right the first time. There's just, they handle everything. You need a new roof. Trust me. Go see my guys, LaBruciano Roofing. Go see Anthony. Call them. 610-265-ROOF. Or check them out online. PAroofPros.com.
97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Fanatic.
All right. Back live to our day after Eagle discussion. Darren Walker, Trey Thomas, live at Outback. Make sure you head to the Outback, the new Outback in Oxford Valley. The boys are there now. You guys getting off to eat?
I'm just hanging out right now. You know, I'm getting ready for my swimsuit modeling career. You know, so I might get a little salad a little later on. You know,
nice.
I'm trying to lean this thing out, man, a little bit. You know,
I'm having me a little drink right now. So.
Just a little water, you know, just to make sure just you stay hydrated.
There you go. I have another one coming after this, though.
Good for you. Good for you guys. Darwin Walker, Trey Thomas, live at the Outback in Oxford Valley. All right, let's. I got a couple things for you guys, and then I want to open it back up to the phone lines and have the people chime in. But let me ask you both about Carson. I want you to assess Carson. Darwin, I'll allow you to go first since you had already stated that you thought right now he was playing mediocre. Give me a little bit more in depth and break it down for me what you think he did wrong yesterday and where he's at right now and take into account his weapons.
All right. Well, before I go into that, you know I got to plug my company. And I made a bet yesterday with a really good friend of mine on our board. Not yesterday. This is last week in our board meeting. Her name is Judy Nish from Nish Engineering. And I bet her that we were going to spank the Patriots. And obviously we didn't. So, Judy, there goes your shout out. And also, our company is Pinoni. And I want to send a shout out to all of our board members at Pinoni in Philadelphia, headquartered right here in Philadelphia. Our great CEO, Dave DeLizza, Peter Coop, Stacy McPeak, and all the others.
All right,
anybody I missed, I don't have time.
All right, I need you to answer the question. You didn't win an award. You're trying to break it down for me. Come on, brother.
Let me break it down. First off, let me just get the city needs an attitude reset. At this point, when it comes to Carson, right now, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm not saying that he's a bad quarterback. Understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying he is just average. He's middle of the pack at this point.
Well, you gotta give me why.
Relax, baby. We got time. We got 2 hours here.
Let's
take
go.
The edge off. All right. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And if you interrupt me again, you're going to make me forget more stuff. But before I got interrupted, what I was going to say was he's just an average quarterback. And here are the things that I think make him average. First off, I talked to Trey about this before the show, and that was I don't think his deep ball accuracy's there. It's never been there. I've watched him now since he's been here. I don't think he's ever been a great thrower of the ball deep. Now, does he have a strong arm? Absolutely. But he's not accurate going down the field. And if you look yesterday, I mean, again, he don't have anybody to throw the ball to. But even before that, he struggles. Listen, I can throw the ball with Deshaun Jackson.
He didn't.
I can throw the ball. Yeah. So again, I'm just saying I have an issue with that. Then the next thing I would mention is that I feel like when you're getting a sack, you got to protect the football. When you're going to get sacked, protect the football.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That hurt us yesterday.
All right.
I think that's another big deal. Then I think he's got to do a better job of recognizing when teams are blitzing. You know, if you know a blitz is coming, if you look at Tom Brady, for example, once he sees blitz, in his mind, he knows where he's going to the ball. He knows who his hot receiver is. That receiver's going to break whatever route they're on off, and he's going to get the ball completed to that receiver. And it comes out so quick, it doesn't matter that you're blitzing. He can hurt you.
I agree with you. However, you know, part of that is on the coaching staff, too. Like, you got to – I don't ever see them throwing that hot spot. I mean, let me ask you a question, Trey. You break this down all the time with me. We sit there and watch the film. When is he ever going three steps balls out?
Never. It's always kind of a – you know, with him being in gun, they play more of that five-step, seven-step kind of timing. So it's never anything that's one, two, three, get it out of there. Because you never see him really throw the ball from being underneath the center. So he's always in the shotgun. Now, one of the things that I look at with him is that you see a Carson Wentz that he's not an anticipation thrower. And for him to be an anticipation thrower, he needs to trust his receivers. And it looks like he doesn't really trust his guys out there to make a play because – there's a difference between being, being NFL open. There are times that, you know, your receivers have just a little space. You got to lead them into it and just get the ball to them. But he doesn't trust his guys to make that catch because they haven't proved it yet because, I mean, they're leading the league in drops.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to his deep ball, I think that if you have a player like Deshaun Jackson that can always, you can never out-throw him, or overthrow him, then, you know, you're good to go. But right. The one play where you have Mac Hollins streaking up the sideline, you have to make a better throw than to throw him out of bounds like that.
I agree.
But, you know, to me it just seems like, you know, he waits until his guys are all the way open. I think that he's focusing on one side of the field instead of seeing the entire field. When it comes to blitz, you know, you would like for him to hit more of those hot reads a little quicker. But I think also, too, you're dealing with a quarterback that's shell-shocked. I mean, you know, you look at this game yesterday, he was sacked five times, hit 12. So, I mean, you know, he's going to be a little skittish in the pocket.
All right, so answer me one question, and then we're going to go to the phones, and you guys are going to talk to the people. How come Nelson Agholor doesn't attempt to get his feet inbounds in the back of the end zone?
You know what? I took that as the first play. I'm like, yeah, he should have dragged his feet. I was more impressed that he caught the ball. It was one of the first times that he had an over-the-shoulder catch.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've seen him have an over-the-shoulder catch this year. That was always one of his bad problems because he had the one play.
Yeah, but he might as well be in the parking lot. I mean,
I know, but he caught it. That's all I focused on.
How could he not try to choke
out? But listen. He caught the ball. He was so focused. Oh, you know what? This is going to be a beautiful over-the-shoulder catch. Yes, out of bounds, but it was a beautiful over-the-shoulder catch.
And also, look, instead of putting all the onus on the receivers, let's also look at Carson from the standpoint of look at the other great quarterbacks around the league. Matter of fact, look at Tom Brady. Other than Randy Moss, name me one other great receiver
honestly, we're talking about the GOAT. You're bringing up the GOAT, Darwin. Yeah, you're right. He's the best player in the history of the league.
That's
come
exactly
on, bro.
Right. But I hear you. I agree with you. But I'm just saying, if you want to see the difference in greatness and average, I'm giving it to you, baby.
Yeah, you're giving me the best quarterback in the history of the planet, of the game.
Okay, well, I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, bro.
So all I'm saying is, those guys make the receivers around them better.
No, they do. Yeah,
they make receivers
you still
better.
You have to catch the ball.
You ask any great, you have to catch
the ball.
Dude, let me ask you a question.
If a quarterback makes you better.
Listen,
yeah, but you still got to catch the ball.
This is absurd.
That's true.
I don't care how much space you make. If you don't catch the ball, what good is it?
I'm not saying our receivers aren't terrible. They're terrible. They're bad. But I'm saying your quarterback – he needs to get something to blame, too.
Yeah,
he got to put the ball in a position where it's impossible for them.
You had the one.
All right, hold on. We got some people. Oh, man. Dwayne in Richmond, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
He was streaking up the sideline. Hey, y'all got me burning up here. I couldn't wait for you to put me on.
What's up, T?
I'm going to say this. You said this a couple weeks ago, that you were scared of Doug really hurting Carson Wentz and his talent. Okay? You said it. You were. Carson Wentz is a gunslinger. He's Pat Mahomes. He's Aaron Rodgers. Okay? Mr. Darwin, I got some questions for you, sir. Okay? Against the Redskins game, like we said, Carson Wentz threw a great deep ball twice to DeSean Jackson. He can make all the throws. In 2017, he was an MVP quarterback, okay? Against the Atlanta Falcons, right? If Carson Wentz played bad, he still put us in a position where the receivers needed to make plays to win the game against Atlanta. Against Detroit, if Carson Wentz played bad, if he played bad, he still put us in a position to win.
Let me explain something to you, man. Hold on.
I'm going to let you talk because I don't have much time.
Okay.
If Goddard catches the ball in Detroit, okay, if the receivers don't drop balls, okay, we have a chance to win or we do win.
All right, Dwayne, let Darwin respond.
Yeah. So let me say this real quick. I'll put you back on, Dwayne,
but let Darwin respond. Go ahead.
When you got a receiver, and this is as a defender, as a defensive player for a long time, when you got a receiver like DeSean Jackson that can blow the top off of your defense, you play defense totally different, okay, because you have to. He can blow the top off of defense, and the reason why I bring that up is because any quarterback worth their weight in salt can throw a deep ball to DeSean Jackson. So all you got to do is throw it as hard as you freaking can, and he's going to go get it. You understand? We don't have
that. You're taking it away.
We need accuracy now.
Okay, but can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead. Real quick, last thing.
Two more points.
Last thing, one point. Hurry up. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, well, I see receivers all around the league making plays for their quarterback.
Yeah,
exactly. These quarterbacks, they're not accurate. They're not that accurate. They got receivers that's making plays.
You want the kid to be perfect on every play. It's a great point. Go ahead, Trey.
Aaron Rodgers.
Newsflash. You're right. Wentz isn't Aaron Rodgers.
Far from it.
But his receivers aren't making plays for him, though, dude. Like, for real. I mean,
I agree they're not making plays. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you guys. You know what I'm saying? But you're crushing the quarterback.
And you're going, he's not Brady or Rodgers. Well, yeah, you're right. He's not Brady or Rodgers. We agree.
Well, the only way you're going to know the difference in average and special is if I explain to you what they are.
You don't need to do that because we have eyes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't need to go there.
But I'm talking to the people out there.
Yeah.
All right? We got an average quarterback right now, and people got to face to that. We got to face up to that. Now, can he get better?
What responsibility does Doug – Hold on.
Is he the top five quarterback in the league?
Dude, of course not. I mean, seriously. Of course he's not. Were you serious about that with that question? Trey Thomas, what responsibility does Doug Peterson have in this whole thing?
I think he has a lot to do with it. I mean, you know, you need to be checking. Doug Peterson is going to be the overall guy. He has a big responsibility in making sure that his position coaches are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And when you have a receiving core, you know, of course you want Carson to make the better throw, to be a little bit quicker with getting the ball out and to make some, you know, see the entire field. But your position coaches need to be pulling their weight as well. I mean, when you have a receiving core that's number one in drops, that's just like me looking at the offensive line. If I have a quarterback that's leading the league in sacks, I got to look at the offensive line coach and say, look, what are you doing? What do you do? What do you say you do here? If you allow my quarterback to get his head taken off.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So I think
Doug needs to get a little bit. It's the people that I think some of those position coaches aren't pulling their weight. Because, I mean, when you have receivers that are dropping the ball left and right, whatever the confidence issue is, if it's spending more time, jug machine, whatever you need to do to get these guys right, how is it taking this long to get Whiteside on the field when he had a preseason game where he just looked all world?
Yeah.
He looked all right. And I know it was a preseason game and all that sort of stuff. But he looked like he was ready to get out there and make some plays on the field. Then it's just everybody falls apart.
At the end of the day, in summary, we got receivers that are terrible and a quarterback that's serviceable right now. And that's just the truth. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you might not like it, but it's the truth. That's just a fact.
What's a fact? That Carson Wentz. Yeah,
receivers that are terrible and Carson Wentz right now, I mean, but again, I need more out of you, other than... He's serviceable.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's what I want you to... I want you to go deeper than just the surface. What can be fixed here? How do you fix the... You're tied into the quarterback, right? Yeah, so at some point, you saw something from him that said he was a franchise quarterback. You got to somehow get back to that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you can do to fix it is kind of like how we did with the run game where we got underneath the center. You know, you add some of those three-step drops into the equation. Teach them how to see the entire field, how to anticipate what that safety's going to do, how to not focus on just one side of the field to see, okay, hey, you know what? Hey, the safety's kind of rolling that way. I know I have man on this side, or if it's a fire zone, whatever those little different runs. Because you had one play where I think it was a sack where you had a rub play on the right where you had Dallas and Jordan. They had a nice little rub route. I mean, Dallas was coming clean, but he didn't have the time to get the ball because he was looking left, and then here comes the sack. So, you know, I think also, too, if you're going to make him better, you got to tighten up this protection. You can't have a situation where he's getting his head knocked off every game.
Right. I agree with that. And I feel like, you know, like Trey said, going to some three-step drop, short passing game, I'm not saying he can't get better. I think ultimately he can be a good quarterback. It's just right now he's not. And I feel like on not just the three-step drops, but also you got to hold on the football. You cannot cause turnovers. You know, that's right. A big deal. You know, turning the ball. The teams that win the turnover battle wins the game usually about 80% of the time, if I'm not mistaken. That's an old stat. But I'm telling you, you win that turnover battle, you got a great chance to win the football game. You cannot turn the football over. And so for me, those right there are simple things you could do to help him. And then, and one other thing. Zach Ertz is kind of a security blanket for him. I said this last year. I feel like he's got to get through his progressions better. You can't just rely on one player, because when you have a coordinator that comes in and takes away, eliminates your best player, then what do you do? So, you know, that's the other thing that he's got to get better at.
All right. Sit tight. We're going to come back in just a moment and you'll talk to all the people. We're back on the phones. I need your help, people. And we will go back to Outback Steakhouse where Darwin Walker and Trey Thomas are there hanging out. And don't forget, go see the guys and help a great cause, Operation Homefront, the new Outback Steakhouse in Oxford Valley. I'm going to tell you about the Fino Law. You know, listen, sometimes life happens, you need a lawyer, right? You need a lawyer? Well, guess what? You need a local lawyer, a team that understands the local climate, that knows it, right? That's why I give you DeFino Law, a law firm born and raised in Philadelphia. A team of highly experienced lawyers answer your call right away who will brawl for you in court. My boys at DeFino Law, the team for you, Vince and Mike DeFino. I grew up with these guys, great, no-nonsense guys, wonderful lawyers. They hit hard for their clients. They're right off of Broad Street, loyal, local team of heavy-handed attorneys. Tackle a tough issue, get the most for their clients. You call DeFino Law, you're going to be silent, sitting and talking to a real lawyer right away. Not referred through the assembly line, some strange office, a lawyer you never met. For over 60 years, DeFino Law has been fighting for working people all over Philadelphia. So whether you had a personal injury at work, an auto accident, a slip and fall, have a loved one who was a victim of a wrongful death, an estate or criminal matter, get to know DeFino Law. 215-551-9099. Let a real Philadelphia law firm fight for you. DeFinoLawyers.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. It's the day after cleaning up the mess that was yesterday. Certainly by the offense. Defense played really, really well. Offense could not move the ball. Eagles go down to New England and We're picking up the pieces right now. Our 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm, Philly Proud and Philly Strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyers.com. We would have done the Bring Heat line, but we have Trey Thomas and Darwin Walker live at the Outback Steakhouse, Oxford Valley. And Bring Heat line is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Winter is here. You know, it's cold outside. Your heating system is not evenly or efficiently heating your home. Please, you need help. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. All right, we're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. Let's bring back Darwin and Trey. Trey, quick question for you. How demoralizing is it for the offense to struggle now? And knowing that you got Seattle and you got Russell Wilson up next.
Yeah, I mean, this is tough. You know, this is a tough pill right here because, you know, this is one of those games that you probably had circled on your calendar. It's another chance for you to go after the team that you beat to win the Super Bowl. So here you go. Here's your moment. So I think this was extremely frustrating to have a game like this and to have a showing like this. But then, too, it's something to learn from, and then just so you can get ready for Seattle because, you know, they're going to come with the same similar type of game plan because, you know, with the NFL, is everybody's going to see what worked against you, and they're just going to dress it up a different way and give you the same exact thing until you can defend it. And also this time, now you got Russell Wilson that can scramble and can make plays with not only his legs, his arm as well.
All right, Darwin, let me ask you about the defense because that was the bright spot of the day. The defense really kept the Eagles in it. The Patriots had incredible starting field position all game long. The 48, the 22, their own 48 twice. I mean, they had great field position, yet the defense held and held and held. It's healthy now. What did you like and who did you like coming from the defense?
Well, there's a lot of good things I could say about the defense, but interestingly enough, you just mentioned about the field position. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about that. That was a major factor in the game. I mean, especially, I forget his name, but the punt returner. If you catch the ball, why are you catching the ball at the five? Let it go into the end zone, get the touchback. I didn't get that. You know, I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely coaching. You can't do that. I mean, you're putting your when you play against a team that has the pedigree of the Patriots, you can't make the simple mistakes that you can get away with maybe some other teams. You have to be, you know, as close to perfect as you possibly can because you know they're going to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like the field position battle was huge in the game. Now, getting to the defense like you talked about, even with the field position being the way it was, the defense came to play. They came to play. I mean, to hold this team, which I believe is one of the top offenses in the league, to 17 points, that's massive. That is massive. I was totally shocked by the secondary play. They actually showed up yesterday. I was shocked. I thought Tom would probably really pick us apart back there, and that's not what happened. And the thing I was most impressed with, believe it or not, and it may surprise you, is Jim Schwartz. Because if you go back and look at the Super Bowl trade, Tom had 500 some yards against us in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 506.
Yeah, this game is the opposite. All right, I mean,
it's slightly different personnel. There was no Gronk. There was no.
That's true.
And Brandon Cooks was out early, and Dorsett got hurt. And
what I liked about what Schwartz did, though, was that he mixed it up. He didn't just stick with that vanilla cover two defense. What I saw a lot, Trey, of was a lot of bare front, especially in the first half. And Trey, as you know, or at least my experience. As a defensive lineman, whenever you go to a bare front, those offensive linemen, they get worried because the center's covered up with a nose guard and you got 2-3 techniques. Uh-huh. And that's what they did a lot of, and they did a lot of stunts out of that, which was very effective against Tom. It affected him. Tom and I are the same age. Believe me, he don't want to get hit. And when he was getting hit, that was affecting him. And that bare front they was in was very effective against him. And I feel like just as an overall game plan defensively, it was really good defense game plan. So I give Jim Schwartz props yesterday for the way the defense played. Now, that's you can pick out a player too.
Without a doubt. I think you're right about that. Yeah. All right, let's get some of the people on. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Darwin Walker, Trey Thomas. Hey, Glenn.
Yo, what's up, G? What's happening, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
Yo, the thing that really, listen, there's a lot of things that were frustrating yesterday, right? You know, it was funny, though, hearing Doug's press conference talk about, you know, Carson having to work within the confines of the offense and take what's given to him. And it just kind of reminded me, the flashback, the way that he would talk about Foles 2 years ago, right? I mean, it was just kind of funny. Just don't do too much. Take what's given to you, right?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of funny. Man, just how, just, you know, the quarterbacks really just have to do their job, right? I mean, don't do too much. And how many times did
he threw 40 times, though. I mean, you know, you can say do your job. You drop back the pass 40 times. That's like the Sixers shooting 35 threes in a game. Where you go, they shouldn't be shooting those on threes because you can't shoot the three ball.
Right, so everyone's to blame. There's plenty of blame, whether it's how he constructed the offense, with bringing old players back who you knew were just one injury from losing the season, right? So, I mean, there's blame everywhere. One of the things I thought was interesting, I was watching your boy Baldy had a thing on Twitter kind of showing how the wide receivers just did a really bad job of really running their routes. And how the Patriots kind of just knew exactly what everything was happening, everything was coming at them, and they were taking away those short routes. And then in the meantime, Carson's got to hold the ball, and next thing you know, the line's getting pushed right back in his face.
And
it was just like, you know, again, it was a game. The thing that's really more frustrating, I can take it if you're going to go out and get your ass handed to you by the Patriots, one thing. But that game was utterly winnable. I mean, and what
the Patriots, and thanks, G. The Patriots left all kinds of points on the field. All that really good field position. They settled for 3 field goals in the first half. They left field position in the second half. And yet it still came down to the last drive. And if Aguilar, Trey, makes that catch, somehow tracks it better, the game's tied.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing in Atlanta. That's the same thing against Dallas. And now here we go again. Against New England. Yeah. So here you go again. I mean, I think Carson did exactly what he was supposed to do, put the ball in position, put a little air under it. All right, you know, hey, let's make a play. This is what you get paid, what, $9 million to do?
Yeah, and if there's anything positive about the game other than the defense, you got to think this game was very winnable against probably the best or one of the best teams in the league.
Record is good, but they're not.
You don't think they're one of the best teams in the league right now?
No.
I would say they're in the top 5 teams in the league right now.
I mean, they're good, but this is not the same New England Patriots of old. Just with the
injuries.
Yeah,
a couple things.
And Tom Brady doesn't look the same either.
Well, you know, they're missing a huge piece of their offensive line, and you can see how much the pressure bothers Brady. He also was without Dorsett and he's your only speed guy right now. So they're down, you know, they're down some skill guys as well. So that offense is not as potent as it was when Gordon was there and had Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
That's true. I mean, they're not as potent as they was. I'll agree with that. But I think they're playing system ball right now. And kind of like what Doug is saying, play within the system and take what the team gives you. They're doing that, I think, pretty well. I mean, listen, what are they, 9-1?
You're doing something right.
What did Parcells say? You are what your records say you are.
You got one of the top defenses in the game, too, that create turnovers. I mean, right
That's
now.
That's true. That's true.
I mean,
true.
What they're first in the league when it comes to turnovers. I mean, they had 19 interceptions. You got 30-something sacks. I mean, you know, this is a front that can get after it. Their secondary, you got a secondary that can get up there and play man, and then that gives your defensive front time to get there. You know, that because to me, a sack is based off of coverage.
That's true.
You know, you got to have coverage there, and I think that these guys can get out there and throw the timing off of the receivers, get the receivers off their routes, and then that gives that defensive front a little time to get there.
One of the things that we saw on display was the fact that at halftime, Belichick and Josh McDaniels make the adjustments, right? They came out offensively with tempo. So they tempoed them.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, that's amazing. I didn't know you was that smart, man. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to go
back at you. I didn't know you could think that way.
Yeah, you know I love you, but
no, you don't.
But what I was saying was I was going to say that they came in after the half And it was like Belichick saw that he was being stymied by our defense, and he realized, okay, let's come back out. Let's go tempo. Let's get him on the heels a little bit. And, you know, it worked. Momentum is so important in this game. People don't realize the impact of momentum. Whoever the team that has momentum usually wins, and that's so important. So I think he needed to get it back in their favor, and he did at the half.
You need help sustaining drives, too, I think, on our side of the ball, just because, I mean, after that 116-play drive, you didn't have a series that didn't go over six plays.
No.
So, I mean, you know, you can't win like that.
No.
You can't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.